You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Can anyone explain why the modern day whales are so big?
The Wire.
Recently, in the cryptocurrency field, we have seen Binance CEO Xiangping Zhao, more commonly referred to as CZ, step down and plead guilty to breaking US anti-money laundering laws as part of a $4 million US dollar settlement with the US Department of Justice. He is now currently facing up to 10 years in prison. Today, I talked to Dr. Olivier Joutel, communications lecturer at the University of Otago, about this further. Firstly, I asked about what Binance is, for those unfamiliar.
So Binance is the largest cryptocurrency exchange by volume. So basically, if you want to have the ability to trade, they do different types of custodial, trading, market-making services. And the key thing about Binance is that it is a kind of like a, let's just say, a bit of a bad boy on the crypto scene, in that they really didn't comply with any set of financial domestic jurisdictions. They had a reputation, now proven, of creating sort of like local cutouts that pretended to comply with financial regulations. And then there was a sort of like backdoor onto this big international exchange that was incredible, sort of Wild West chicanery that in many ways resembles or has some of the similar problems of FTX. Folks may recall that it was in fact Binance that helped precipitate the decline of FTX, because CZ basically pulled out of a position in FTX's sort of casino chips, the FTT token, which is the kind of like funny money. It's kind of like Disneyland bucks or whatever. And CZ of Binance said, "Nah, actually, we don't really like this," and thus began the sort of like unraveling of FTX.
I suppose you've touched into it a little bit, but could you explain what the allegations and the charges against Xiaoping Zhao, the CEO of Binance?
So there's two sets of proceedings going on, and what we've gotten is the first, and that is from the U.S. Department of Justice, which really cares a lot about anti-money laundering and know your customer regulations. These are the sort of like standard kind of guardrails of modern banking and finance, which is basically you've got to be able to prove that you're not like just awash with ransomware funds and fraud and all that kind of stuff. You need to know your customer, and you need to know which legal entities are not allowed access to the banking system. You know, after 9/11, there was a lot of sort of, creating sanctions for Iran or North Korea or, different sort of like terrorist groups or, countries like Venezuela that are denied access to the financial system. And I mean, we can definitely debate whether those are good guide rails or not, but part of the success of Binance is that those guide rails did not exist. And so again, for the folks that use crypto for money laundering, hacking, and raising funds from the sort of dark corners of finance, Binance was very useful for them. And so the Department of Justice has come down with a $4 billion fine on Binance. CZ himself, who has been kind of like, hey, I'm on the run, I'm in Dubai, I'm in this place, I'm in that place. Binance is really like a global network. We don't really have a central HQ. Now he's actually sort of like turned himself in to a U.S. court in Seattle and is he facing upwards of 5 to 10 years? We'll see. But I just want to highlight, and there's more to say about that case, but there's also a Securities and Exchange Commission case against Binance, which I'm particularly interested in because it says something about the fundamentals of like crypto securities chicanery. There's a lot in crypto that's just sort of like old-fashioned financial fraud and scams, and that's what the SEC case will get to.
Sorry, in regards to the second part, you talked about the security of, is it cryptocurrency? Would you be able to explain a little bit more about that?
One of the problems with cryptocurrency is that it's actually not a currency. Like, you know, you have to go out to like some offshore tax-free zone in like El Salvador or Puerto Rico to like actually really see crypto embedded in the economy in any kind of real way. I mean, there are some payment processing systems, but it's really just like a kind of novelty for like crypto bros, because like it doesn't really work as a standard currency which has stability, which has broad user uptake. And you know, even when they tried to sort of roll this out as legal tender in El Salvador, like it's so unwieldy, people don't like it. So crypto, Bitcoin, doesn't really work as a currency. It's just generally a thing to like pump and to create. I mean, look, there's some of it is Ponzi schemes, some of it is affinity fraud. Some of this is like, look, you know, if you're into ape NFTs and you're part of that subculture, like you might want to spend the time to like, you know, go through all the sort of arcane things that like blockchains and Bitcoins allow you to do. But most people, they don't like that shit. So one of the big sort of cult incantations of crypto and blockchain is like number go up. You know, this kind of the notion that Bitcoin will get to $1 billion is somehow proof that Bitcoin is all of the things that they say it is. When in fact, like, look, you know, that's a promise on a financial return that's traditionally known and regulated as a security. We regulate securities so that we have transparency about, you know, who's issuing stocks and all that kind of financial information that protects consumers. And we've in fact seen, you know, the massive meltdown of 2022 and FTX, like we've seen everyday sort of like punters really hurt by this, right? That's why we have financial protections. And, you know, so whether it's FTX or Binance, one of the things that these folks are doing is they're creating sort of like cult-like followings around like somebody like CZ, who's, you know, he's building the future and he's building the sort of off ramps to the moon and all of the sort of like escape from the traditional financial system. And what you end up generally seeing is a massive amount of manipulation, like wash trading, so controlling both sides of trades and creating fake volume, or you're seeing these sort of like magic bean tokens like BNB or BUSD that are just made up bullshit. And, you know, it's funny because Tether probably falls in that category as well. So this is sort of like what's at stake in the crypto economy overall. Now, I know people are going to say, oh, you know, it's got this really great use value for this or that sort of thing. But generally, it hasn't scaled because people don't like it or they don't see the utility. And it may be a fixture of a certain niche sector of the sort of financial or metaverse space. But with particularly with this big case, we're kind of seeing the end of some of those feverish dreams about what crypto was supposed to represent.
So the University of Otago, they released your commentary on this news, and you mentioned the importance and the effects this has on New Zealand. Could you elaborate why this is important to us as New Zealanders?
I think there's a lot of, you know, again, retail customers that may get caught up in this. And again, New Zealand has been part of what CZ, I mean, look, CZ himself is incredibly dodgy character. His successive compliance officers have like resigned in disgust because they don't have access to the books. And the SEC case against Binance basically says that all of the key holdings are in wallets controlled by CZ. So, like, that's quite concerning. And one of the other things that he outlined is we're going to dominate the crypto space by trying to do like regulatory arbitrage, which means getting a foothold in different jurisdictions and pretending that we have compliant entities And then it's, again, a backdoor into the big exchange because, you know, you need money, actual capital coming in. Because that's, at the end of the day, that's really what people get out of crypto is, like, old-fashioned dollars. Now, New Zealand, we were a bit late to this, but we did, in fact, allow Binance New Zealand to be formed in, I want to say 2022, which was, look, you know, the EU told Binance, they chased them out of town. Like, look, no, you're not allowed to have access to any of our markets. And so New Zealand has had one of the latest sort of like, you know, regional Binance entities. And that's, I guess, concerning. But the other thing is that our local lobby or blockchain industry is reasonably tied to Binance, but also some of the sort of fanciful notions of what crypto is. One of the last acts of government was for the select committee, of the last government was the select committee's financial and expenditure committee to publish a report on crypto and blockchain, which was kind of like a love letter to blockchain. It was written by the local industry, and it was basically like, look, let's not regulate. Let's create a kind of like sandbox policy where we invite crypto in, that we don't kill the golden goose. Sorry, is that the right metaphor? I forget. But basically, like, we should nurture this thriving new economy by not regulating. Oh, and it turns out, by the way, that one of the key people in the local industry group is like the head of Binance and Zed. And so, like, I feel like we've had a pretty naive or in fact cynically, you know, wrong-headed approach to regulation. One of the things that was really startling about this report, which basically said, don't regulate, make government and schools like teach the virtues of blockchain, when again, I mean, I can go through this, but like there's not a lot of people haven't taken this technology up because it's not really that useful and it's environmentally harmful and all that kind of stuff. But we had actually the financial I forget the exact acronym, but the Financial Security Authority of New Zealand put out an editorial after this report was released saying, like, look, please, New Zealanders, beware. This is like a really dodgy place, and we should be enforcing securities law, and we should be taking a very cautious approach because there's a lot of potential harm here. So that's where I kind of come at this is, like, do we want to be sort of like a laboratory for a technology that has a long proven track record of financial harm without the sort of promises and really sort of leveraging a sort of a FOMO that like, oh, you know, New Zealand, we should be like the place where this is all happening. And maybe we can use like metaverse tokens for digital ID. I don't think we should be doing any of that shit, but there we go. That's me.
That was Dr. Olivier Joutel from the University of Otago on Binance and cryptocurrency.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.